Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Hey, booze.
Hey there. You used it.
I did it. Hope everybody's doing okay. I feel like there's been a lot of pressure, a lot of, oh man, we just need to take a breath right now.
For sure.
Chill out, calm down.
You never introduced yourself.
Oh, I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to Show Me Scares.
Oh yeah.
Sorry that I did that. I was just like, oh man, I just feel like everything's been so intense lately.
True that.
Yeah. So let's just escape for a while and do something fun. How about that?
I'm ready.
Yeah, me too. Me
I need
too.
It.
So we're going to, I feel like in October we had a lot of fun. We did a lot of different stuff. We did a ton of episodes. Not as many as we wanted to, but life. And so.
You always say that. Life.
I feel like now we can kind of, this feels like a classic Show Me Scares episode.
And back to normal.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, and that's kind of dumb maybe, but I just like looking in this story and talking about it with you. You actually know a lot about this story now.
I do.
We actually have worked on this one together, which is different, but other than that, it feels like coming back to our roots and doing mm-hmm. something that we do. And because we did a lot of very well-known cases and stuff in October, and then we did the creepypasta, which is totally not us. But I mean, it worked. I thought we had a lot of fun doing it, and I hope you all enjoyed those extras. And we might do one every now and then for, you know, shits and grins. But it's nice to be back to normal a little bit.
Even though we are a little late.
Yes.
Life.
Well, yeah, life. That's your fault.
Hey.
No, so Terry had to work and
boo.
Yeah, boo. But I just couldn't face doing another episode without her.
Aww.
And I think listeners probably missed you when you're gone too.
I don't know. They come here for you.
Well, yeah. But
okay, easy now. You're supposed to talk me up some more.
No, it's you.
Yeah, thanks.
You're the comedic relief.
Whatever. I'm just here to laugh. That's all.
You ask the good questions in this shit show.
Yeah. Way before you explain stuff.
Oh, good gracious. So, anyway, tonight we have a murder case from early 1900s, Mountain View, Missouri, which is very close to where we grew up. We know the area very well. And so those are always fun for us to see what kind of crazy stuff was going on long before we arrived. So let's just get into this one.
Let's go.
So we're talking about Crawford Hibbard. It's not an easy name
to say. These names, man.
Crawford Hibbard. He was born November 3rd, 1880, to Martin and Nellie Hibbard. I think in Oklahoma, could have been in Missouri. I couldn't find the birth record, but more on that. He was married to Anna, and they had a daughter. I never saw the daughter's name mentioned anywhere, so sorry that I don't have that.
Slacker.
Yeah. So somewhere in the early 1900s, like 1904, 1905, somewhere around there, he lost both his parents and one of his siblings in a tornado in Snyder, Oklahoma.
Hmm.
But his family had land in Mountain View. And so that's why I don't know really where he was born and how that all happened.
Right.
But for some reason, they were in Snyder at the wrong time. And his father had this farm on Wolf Creek near Mountain View. Okay, so Anna and Crawford resided with her father, J.H. Vaughn, about 2 miles away from his father's place.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Crawford was a railroad brakeman, but then he quit to become a teacher like his wife in 1905.
Wow.
Yeah. She was actually, I mean, how would you take that as a wife?
I thought it would be pretty cool to have you do the same thing as me.
Oh, God, no.
No. Definitely not you as in right now, but like, how would you feel if I became an accountant?
I would love it.
See?
Yeah. Okay. So I get it. I just think that this kind of relationship is different than ours.
By a lot.
Captain Obvious. But I actually, she was really pleased with the decision and said that she thought he would be fantastic. Aww. As an educator. And she was really excited to
support him.
Yeah. She was really excited to study with him and go through this journey of him learning to become an educator. So she was really supportive.
That's cool.
Yay. It's really good. Yeah. Because they have a 2-year-old daughter together. Like I said, don't know her name. Poor little girl.
It's a good thing that they kept her name out of the papers, probably.
Probably, with what all happened. He went to study in Springfield to get, you know, get his education. And while he's gone, Anna moved into his father's farmhouse near Wolf Creek. The nearest neighbors was a Polish family that lived more than a quarter mile away. So they were secluded. They were alone. The papers mentioned many times how lonely it was out there.
It'd be so great.
On the
city girl.
I am. I can't believe I wasn't born and raised in a city because, hello.
I'll never get you back home.
No. And no.
Okay, easy though.
On the afternoon of August 16th, 1906, the couple had an early dinner while their daughter actually was staying at grandpa's house.
Okay, her, like a date night then. Yeah.
Oh, I started to say her dad. Obviously, his is dead, so that would not be a great place for the daughter to be. So I guess she was kind of like a grandpa's girl. She loved her grandpa, loved spending time with him, and so she was at his house a lot. And so that's where she was on this day. They have their early dinner and they're doing some studying because they're nerds. And it's kind of like what we do with research.
Yeah, because we're nerds.
Anna gets kind of tired and she's like, hey, Dollface, I'm going to go for a walk.
Dollface.
Gosh. Hey, there's pictures of him. He has a dollface. And so she leaves to go for a walk. And Crawford is lying in the floor reading a grammar book when she leaves.
Sounds exciting.
She's out walking, and while she's walking through the orchard, suddenly she hears a gunshot.
Hello. Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Wait, that should probably be normal, actually. I wonder how far from the house the orchard was.
I don't know.
Me either.
Dang. You was a researcher.
I know. These dang newspapers, they need to include maps. So we have the full layout of what's going on. So she hears the gunshot. She runs to her house. And she gets to the front door. Through the front door that's open, she can see her husband lying on the floor covered in blood.
Ooh.
Without entering the house, she turns and runs to the neighbors.
Now, would you do the same? You would do the same. No, you would freeze, probably.
I would just pass out and die.
Because some people would do the same, and probably some people would go and check on them.
I don't know, honestly. I don't know that I could walk up to it. I think I would be like...
To it?
Because, no, I mean the scene.
Oh, okay.
I would think... This is not an image I will ever get rid of. Do I really want to see it? If I go get help, I'm probably helping more than if I fall down dead next to them. So.
I get it.
Yeah. So, the Polish neighbors, which the newspaper talks about a lot, these poor people have no names, apparently. That's 1907 for you. and 1906, sorry. She tells them, though, interesting, she tells them that her husband has shot himself.
What? So yeah, she like, just assumed?
How does she know that?
I don't know.
The family sends two of their kids over. It said...
Wait, what?
Yeah.
This is the second story that we've had the grown-ups sent their kids to check out a death.
I know. The adults are like, screw that. I don't want to see that shit.
Kids. Hey, Henry, you go check it out.
Childhood trauma. There you go. Sweet Lord. So, it said... The stupid newspapers. They actually said a young Polish girl and her brother. Oh. Like, they do not use their names. These people, God. Anyway, the kids come with Anna to investigate. Anna faints before she makes it through the door because that's what women did. And she's still out of it, not really conscious when other people start to arrive. So I don't know if they heard got it. Out. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but... I would think being that secluded, it would take a minute.
So maybe she was out for a while.
Yeah. That's the kind of what I was getting from reading the articles is that like when she went down, she went down.
like you would have.
Crawford, he was still alive, but he was unconscious. His shotgun, which was kept behind the door, and that's where she saw it when she left, was lying by his side with an empty shell in it.
Shotgun, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. The first theory was the same as hers, suicide. The problem was that the gunshot was in the back of his head.
That ruled that out.
With a shotgun. I mean...
That takes talent.
I'm no physicist, but... The theory... Also,
another theory
was that he had fallen asleep on the floor and someone had come in and shot him from the doorway with his own gun.
Out in the middle of nowhere?
And then ran away. Obviously. It was evident that the gun was in the hands of a person who was either unaccustomed to handling a gun or extremely nervous. Because the charge just grazed the top of his head. That was rough. And if it had been just an inch higher, it would have missed him completely.
So they almost missed him close range with the shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody that don't know how to shoot.
They even said like the floor was peppered around him.
And one grazed him and killed him.
Well, enough of them, I guess. Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, the coroner's jury brought a verdict to the effect that he came to his death by a gunshot wound from the hand of a person unknown.
No way. Better figure this one out.
There were reports of trouble with some neighbors over some personal property. That was one of the things that came out pretty much immediately. Mm-hmm. The neighbor had made some threatening remarks, which there's a little bit more on that later that gets explained deeper, but there really wasn't enough evidence to point to anyone. Several witnesses were questioned. Again, we'll get into more of that, but nothing was really coming to light.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the gun and his body.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anything else. And they live pretty remote, so there's not a ton of people, a ton of neighbors that are like, oh, yeah, I saw Jimmy Joe come out of there.
Mm-hmm. Or even if they heard the gunshot, like you said, that's probably normal.
Yeah.
In a country like that.
I mean, if I heard a gunshot out there today, I wouldn't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not joking, and I'm not trying to be silly. I mean, I know not all of our listeners are from the area, but that's absolutely true. If I was back home today and I heard 16 gunshots, I would not think anything of it. That's just what it happens. Is. Like, yeah. You're out there in the woods, pretty much. The whole area mm-hmm. is very rural. And there are a lot of hunters out there all the time. Or they are target practicing, getting ready for hunting season. Like, there are always gunshots mm-hmm. going off everywhere. So just a little bit of context for the people who don't know where the area, it's totally normal to hear gunshots all the time. And it's not like a dangerous thing at all. You feel completely comfortable with it.
Yeah, it's not scary at all. It's just part of
growing up there.
You just get used to it.
That's why it was really funny when we were at Wilson's Creek and the first gunshot we heard, you recognized it. I mean, you heard it, but it didn't even register to me because I'm so used to just hearing gunshots when I'm outside my entire life. Yeah. So,
Anyway,
one report said that one of the doctors who examined the body at the inquest claimed that, Crawford was shot from the front, not from the back. So basically, at this point, rumors are swirling. People are talking. Everybody's saying something different. Nobody knows what the hell is going on, but everybody has something to say about it.
Typical.
Yeah. Sounds like we've not went very far. So because of this, and I'm not sure when his funeral was held, I didn't find it, any of that, but I do know that on somewhere around the 30th of August, roughly, his body was exhumed to examine again because everybody was saying all these different stories. So they were like, okay,
we better bring him up again.
Bring him up. We're going to re-examine his body and put all this to rest. So they did it again.
Oh my gosh.
And they held another inquest. Anna was questioned. His wife, in case we've gotten so far away, we forgot her name. Anna said that she thought that her husband had been doing something with the gun, like fooling around with it, and he shot himself accidentally because she didn't hear anything, no kind of arguing,
no noises, no yelling.
That would make her think that he had got into it with somebody, which if he's laying on the floor shot in the back of the head, he probably didn't have time to argue, but... you know, there's that. She thought that there might have been some kind of trouble going on with him. Like something was weird because over like the few days before the shooting, Crawford had cleaned the gun and he started keeping it loaded and half cocked.
Oh, well, that's
suspicious. And like within reach. Mm-hmm. When they would go to bed, he would put it behind the bed. So like something was weird. And maybe he wasn't telling her, he didn't want to scare her, but she felt that something was going on because of the way he was keeping the gun near him all the time. And like we said, the gun was behind the door. So as if when he came in, somebody. He brought the gun and set it behind the door so it was readily available. So there may be something to that.
Wouldn't you ask if I started doing that?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? Bodie is going to knock that over and kill one of us. That's what I would say, but, you know. She testified that her and Crawford had never had any trouble between the two of them. They were happy together. She also testified, and this is, also, of course, within a line of questioning. She's not just randomly saying these things. I like to point that out because that's not how the paper says it, but you know that's how it happens. She had never shot that gun, but she had shot a revolver several times.
So she knew how to shoot.
Yes. Her father lived 2 miles away, but he was at Mountain View at the time of the killing. She had sent for him right away. And even though Crawford lived several hours after he was shot, he was dead before her father arrived. So he was quite busy, apparently. It took him a long time to get there.
For real?
I don't know.
Just an odd thing.
Huh? Her father, so J.H. Vaughn is his name. Vaughn. Her father said that he only knew of two enemies that Crawford had. They were W.B. Vest and his son, Jess Vest. Wow. Say that fast. He testified that Jess had come to his gate with a gun on August 3rd, 13 days before the killing. and he was arguing over a dog.
Sounds familiar. It's always something.
Vaughn suggested that they pick a man to settle their difficulty.
What?
I know. It was really confusing. I guess he's like, we need to just talk to somebody and say, here's our problem, solve them. I don't know.
Maybe he just wants somebody to wrestle and wrestle or something.
Jess said, maybe we can just shoot it out. And Vaughn was like, yo, let's go.
Oh my god.
And Jess said, no, I can't shoot anybody.
just kidding, bro. You ain't supposed to agree.
So Vaughn actually said, even though they were arguing, he did not see that it was probable at all that Jess would have killed him. It just wasn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And both the father, Vest, and Jess had alibis. So that was kind of thrown out pretty much immediately. But as they do, the rumors start to fly.
You having fun over there?
Yeah, that was flying rumors.
Her arms are going crazy.
We are going to have to tape one of these sometime.
I know.
Oh god.
Wait a minute.
No, we shouldn't do that.
You was on live and you wouldn't keep your arms down.
Yeah. But I don't have enough room when you're sitting right next to me. I would like knock you out of your chair.
Hey, I tried to stay behind you.
People started suggesting that Anna.
Of course.
What if Anna had something to do with it?
That darn Anna.
She was the only one there, other than him, that we know of. And she said he shot himself before she even knew what had happened. I mean, there was a gunshot and he had blood on him, so it wasn't too hard to figure out. But right.
She's the only one that says she was in the orchard. Nobody can testify to that.
But here's what I love about Anna.
Okay.
People started talking shit. And Anna, she didn't just take it. She started filing lawsuits of slander against people. And she won these lawsuits.
She's like, keep on talking, guys.
Yeah. I mean, she was raking in the money. And she actually, so she was a teacher. She ended up losing her job. Yep. Her contract was pulled from a school. I think it was in Texas County where she was working.
So her husband gets killed and then you turn around and fire her and she has a 2-year-old daughter. God.
She sued them also and won.
There you go.
And she ended up working in West Plains at a school in West Plains.
Good deal.
Mm-hmm. In April of 1907, a grand jury indicted her for murder.
Aww.
Yeah. She was released on bond. And then when the case came up in June, the prosecutor just dismissed it with no explanation. Just dropped it.
Weird. Don't you have to have an explanation?
No.
Why would you?
Yeah. So there we go.
I like it. I mean, I'm on her side until she's proven guilty.
Right. But then, a year to the day, I believe, of her husband's death, Anna was rearrested for the murder, and so was her father as a co-conspirator.
Of course.
They were both released on $1,000 bond each. To await trial. The trial took place in West Plains in December of 1907. Of course, the courtroom was cram-packed.
Always is back then.
Yes. Throughout the trial, Anna sat with her attorneys with her head bowed, and she closely watched everything and listened to everyone.
She sounds like a smart woman.
I really like her. Man. Her father sat nearby. Very old. They talked about how old and gray he looked. So I don't know how old he was, but.
Oh, Papa.
Her daughter just played around the courtroom, like right there where her mom was sitting. And several times she would ask her mom if she was ready to go soon.
This sucks. Let's go home.
Can we go home now?
I'm hungry.
These people are boring. during the trial, there's not a lot of stuff on what kind of testimony there was. So like for her, against her, what have you, there's really not a lot of reports on that, which is weird because what did they have on her other than she was there?
For real? How, what? I don't get how they arrested
and
her.
I think I read that the motive was insurance money, that was what they were going on, that she was after insurance money, which then she sued everybody and made a bunch of money off of them, so it didn't look all that well for her as far as money. But still, that was the motive, what they were going off of, why she killed her husband. So I don't know if there was something to the effect that what I understood in the little bit that I could find on the kind of testimony and stuff that they had was she was unhappy that he quit his job and went to work as an educator. And when we know that neighbors and family said, no, she was so excited that he was doing that and thought he would be fantastic at it.
So they came and have that.
No, not really. But also, the interesting testimony that I thought, anyway, during the trial, Millard Robbins of Mountain View, he's a former deputy sheriff, he acknowledged the truthfulness of the accusation that he and Sheriff Morgan had gone to Wayne County to consult a witch or clairvoyant about the mystery.
What? That's way out there.
Yeah. They went to see this woman, Josie Forbes, in Wayne County, known as the Witch of Tasky, a clairvoyant, to get
to the bottom of it, basically.
They were hoping to get that one piece that put everything together.
From a witch. Her.
So they call her a witch. She's a psychic. That's what, yeah. But
yeah, but if it was that easy, we would do that these days.
Right.
I mean, right?
I'm going to tell Chip Coffee you said that when we see him in December.
Shut your mouth. I'm just saying, the courts don't allow it. They don't use that, do they?
No. But I think, I mean, it would be super cool if they came up with something and was like, hey, this is what happened. And then you find evidence to corroborate that. That would be cool.
Truth.
So, but this woman was pretty well known during that time. I'm fascinated with her. I'm looking into her more.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
That's down your alley.
I know.
Oh my God.
When the jury went out to deliberate, it was a little after 9 o'clock on December 12th. Judge Evans, he seemed to realize that they probably wouldn't be out very long.
So what did he do, just hang out?
Well, in his instructions, he said he would wait a while for a verdict.
So he just stood there.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I'm just going to wait a while. We'll see what happens.
This may not take very long.
And actually, that seemed to be the feeling in the courtroom because very few people left the courtroom. And was it because they were anxious and they wanted to hear the verdict? But most think they were just like, we don't want to leave and miss it because it's not going to take long. They were right. It took 18 minutes for the jury to reach a verdict. That's not long.
Not long at all.
When the not guilty verdict was read, cheers filled the courtroom.
Oh, everybody was for Anne.
Mm-hmm. People rushed to her to hug her, to shake her hand, to congratulate her. And she kind of just crumbled.
Yeah, she's been put through heck.
Yeah. So, not guilty for Miss Anna.
Yay, I think. Not that I know or anything.
The charges against her father were also dropped.
Good.
I mean,
poor old guy. Yeah. He's just trying to be there for his daughter.
Yeah. So.
Good story.
I thought it was a good story. What do you think happened?
Not a clue.
There's the real mystery, right? Because I agree with them. She's the best option.
Well, if he like kept the gun half cocked, maybe it did just fall over and fire and hit him on the floor while he was laying on the floor.
Well, and I like that actually, because I mean, that's my thought too. It, as crazy as that sounds, mm-hmm. and maybe is, the problem that I have with it is that the, and I don't know, it, I think it's really hard to tell the direction it was traveling. I mean, just from reading newspapers from 1907. Mm-hmm. But they did say that the floorboards around him were peppered, so that does seem like it came from above rather mm-hmm. than below or even with him. So that kind of blows that out of the water. But that's what, that was the first time that I read the story. That was my thought. I'm like, well, it fell over and shot him. Mm-hmm. Like,
makes sense.
Yeah. But why would it just fall over too?
That's true.
If it's standing there that whole time, unless it was a ghost.
There it is.
But
I'm curious about this witch person, what she too. Said and such.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It's a mystery.
I don't know. From what I understand, when they came back from the witch, they arrested Anna.
Hmm.
So, I don't know.
It's not really something you can go on. Yeah, I talked to my witch friend, now you're arrested.
Mm-hmm. I just think this is probably a case that obviously we're not going to know what happened. Which, you know, those drive me crazy. They make me nuts, which is maybe why I liked this one so much. But Anna's the only suspect there can be, really. I mean, that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, she's the only one that we can possibly point the finger at. And so I get why she would have been tried.
I wonder if they had a pet.
They were fighting over a dog. The dog did it.
See, you blame Bodie that would do that. Maybe
that was my psychic ability.
The dog knocked it over. It came over, fell onto the dog, went off, and shot him.
Well, there you go. Call West Plains.
You're welcome. We just You're welcome, cracked everybody. The
case. It sucks.
I feel sorry for Anna
mm-hmm.
in this case. Anyway.
Well, what? He was like 27? 26?
Mm-hmm.
God.
Found his career that he loved?
Yeah. Like he was just getting started in something that he wanted to do.
And had a daughter.
Had a baby.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
Yeah. It sucks bad. But a lot of these cases suck bad.
I agree.
So, that's the story. We cracked the case. The dog did it.
Sure.
Otherwise, I don't know who could have done it. Unless it was just happen. A stranger.
Don't know. Somebody but that's just like, out roaming in the middle of nowhere?
That's what I mean. Like, this was personal. Why would you just walk in and shoot somebody in the head for no reason at all and then somebody have no tie to them that they could find too. Out? Yeah.
It's kind of like me when I was shooting your dad's handgun. I've never shot a handgun before. It took me like 15 tries to even hit the target. That's 9 feet away, so I ain't gonna say nothing. It's definitely different than from shooting a rifle, mm-hmm. so I get it.
All right, well, do we have any reviews?
Yeah, Sarah the Slowpoke. Hasn't she reviewed before?
I think so. I saw that one, and I think that's an updated one because I think I've saw that before. So
I mean...
Thanks, bud.
Bud. It's Boo. Thanks, Boo.
Thanks, Boo.
Love the reviews. Love them.
It was really good. It was nice. So thank you for that. Continue to leave those. They really help us a lot.
They do.
And so we have some exciting stuff going on. We'll probably start doing some more Facebook Lives. And so if you guys have any ideas of stuff you'd like to see on those Facebook Lives, we've thrown around some stuff. We might put a poll up, too. Just to let you know what we're playing with so we can give you what you want.
Yeah.
So we will...
We need to be more active with our
Other social media, yeah, for sure, because I'm terrible at that. Terrible.
But you do so good on live.
Well, I didn't know that I could do that.
God. Oh, gosh, I love you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you have any ideas for them, though, by all means, let us know.
Throw them out there, for sure.
Send us an email and let us know. Also, any places that you think we should look into for as far as haunted places, any true crime stories you want to hear us try to do. Well, I say that because you never know how much you can find. So, sure. Yeah, let us know.
Or if you just want to say hi.
Or if you want to be a guest.
Ooh, there you go.
Be a guest. Be our guest. No.
Hey. Okay. Hey, we have a third mic coming.
Yeah.
So they can come and hang out.
Well, or COVID, you have to sit in the other room.
Oh, jeez. We'll take your temperature at the door while you have a 15-question survey for you.
Yeah. It's like going to work. It's fine.
Yeah, no worries. We're used to it.
All right, guys. Have a fantastic week. So sorry this was late, but we couldn't do it without Terry. So I hope you appreciate that, at least.
Yeah, I hope you like me, too.
So thank you very much, as always, for listening, you guys. Are so fantastic, and we enjoy every time we get to hear from you all, so don't stop that. Anything done? Else you have to say?
Nope.
To remind me to say?
Nope, you got all the notes.
All right, great, guys, try to
stay safe,
just take a deep breath, just relax, everything's going to be okay. Love one another.
You are very loving tonight.
I am. Have a fantastic week. We love you very much. Come back and see us next week. And don't catch COVID. We love you.
Stay healthy, guys.
Bye.